All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, more than 70% of Republicans and more than 70% of Democrats both agree the other side are generally bullies who want to impose their political beliefs on those who disagree. And half of all Americans believe the other side is misinformed about politics because of where they get their information and news, the polls found. So when you have that kind of divide, Sandy, in our political discourse, how do you begin to even attempt to try to repair that? And what is it going to take to do that? Is it possible? Because as long as we have that kind of a divide, Sandy, I don't know, you know, where the healing comes from.
Well, you know, I think you and I are engaged in that almost daily with CJ, and I think the process is slow. I think the process is slow, but I think actually in the last couple of weeks, our phone conversations with CJ have changed their tone. And I think it's because of your willingness to, number one, have the dialogue. I think what's happened in America is that people who disagree with one another refuse to talk to one another on the grounds that it's so unpleasant that we won't engage in it. And it's, I think it's because we've lost contact with how it is that we carry out civil conversation and how we start and carry out those conversations. And I think so that process has to be relearned. And I'm not sure that America right now is situationally going to do it. I think it takes a willingness and an interest on the part of people to build bridges to one another. And I fear that Americans not only don't want to build bridges, but we're in the process of blowing them up. And that's why part of my fearful epiphanies last week was this concern that the current movements in America could lead us to a government that would fragment, to essentially a loss of legitimacy of the federal government, which is actually what happened in the USSR in 1990. You know, the federal government of the USSR basically lost its credibility amongst the people. And when it evaporated, the country of the USSR fragmented into its republics. And we already have Texas and California, states talking about secession. We have regions of the country that believe that they are and only look at themselves as blue. We have regions of the country that can only be considered red. And we don't have any discourse between them. We have a heightened level of acrimony between them. That's what we're seeing on the floor of the U.S. Senate. That's what we're seeing on the floor of the House of Representatives. So we don't have role models showing us how to carry out civil conversation. And I'm pleased that you're one of the few who are doing that.
Hang on. Let's go to David from Mequon. Hey, good morning, David. How you doing? Thank you for the call.
Hey, good morning, Harold, Sandy. It's been a while since I've called in here. So I'm listening to the conversation, and I guess I agree with Sandy that, yes, there's no question both sides of the aisle are seeing government fail, but for very different reasons. That being said, I look at what just happened here with the whole COVID situation. And as you know, as a property owner, I think I was very frustrated. We lost a very good tenant because they were considered non-essential, putting 30 people out of work, some that had young children. Meanwhile, you know, you could go to the Costco, Walmarts of the world, jam-packed, and they were considered essential. And I actually had another tenant that was a pet salon, and she was the only person working within her space. And she was shut down for almost 2 months, and she almost went out of business. And at the end of the day, yes, sometimes government can overreach and has consequences, and obviously you see what can happen where things are affecting people. We see what's been going on with the nationwide permit number 12, which is essentially through the Army Corps of Engineers. And they have narrowed for the oil companies. People keep talking about the Keystone Pipeline, stuff like that. But if you look like New York State has just now mandated all new buildings not to use natural gas, even for stoves. California, they're actually popping up now where they're saying no more new gas stations in some communities whatsoever. So you do have that portion where literally you're having the government, rather than the person, decide, hey, listen, do I want to go this direction or do I want to go that direction? And they're just leaving you no choice but to force you to go to this direction. And so that's where I think people miss the boat on some of that situation. And Europe is paying a price for it right now. If you look at Europe, they want green energy. And unfortunately, it didn't work because they were still getting a tremendous amount of supply from Russia to keep up, to keep the factories running. And now they're rushing to make deals with, you know, all sorts of countries around the world to try to offset if Russia decides to cut off the rest of natural gas. For the simple reason, again, wind and solar is nice, so, but it's not sustainable.
So, Dave, hang on, because people can pick and choose things in the government that bother them and they don't like, but to have this divide to the degree mm-hmm. that we have it can't be good. Sandy, you want to respond to Dave?
But, you know, I think Dave and I agree on many things, but I think there are many things we don't agree on as well. And I think but Dave was describing a bunch of government restrictions that had been damaging to him as a property owner and also just a similar small businesses. Those were all restrictions that were imposed by local government. So that's different than, I mean, even the states' rights people, the most conservative, are in favor of leaving that, the kind of restrictions he's talking about, to local governments. And in fact, all of the restrictions he was talking about with respect to California and New York were also the result of at least state restrictions, not federal restrictions. And so, you know, it's true that government, regardless of the level of government we're talking about, will do things that intrude on people's lives, intrude on people's freedoms. Some of them will be viewed as being sounder than others. And of course, the government itself is got filled with faults, but it's better than no government. You know, the alternative to government with faults is a land of no government, no rule of law, and we can look around the world and see how terribly damaging that is. With respect to Europe and green energy, you know, they've been on a path towards green energy, and obviously the path from here to there takes many steps, and they were maybe a third of the way down that path when the Ukrainian war, the war in Ukraine started, and the energy problem and the energy flow from Russia was blocked. So, yeah, it's definitely created a hiccup in the move towards green energy. But incidentally, Dave, the world and the marketplace in the world is moving towards renewable energy. It's going to take time, but there's no question that the world at large is going to move directly in the direction of renewable energy. And over time, we will probably get very far removed from the use of fossil energy. And it might become totally vestigial based on technological developments that will make it possible for wind and solar, hydrogen, other forms of renewable energy heretofore undiscovered to take the place of fossil energy. And the financial market knows that. And Wall Street knows that. And Wall Street has been penalizing Exxon and some of the other energy companies for not moving rapidly enough to essentially replace the revenue stream that is caused by fossil fuels and to replace it with something else. And those very companies... Well, one more thing.
Okay.
Those companies are restraining the degree to which they're investing in more discovery and exploration for fossil fuel, because the expense of that is not being rewarded by Wall Street based on the notion that future supplies of oil and natural gas will not be worth as much as they are today.
Dave? All right, so Dave is gone. Sandy, let's Bill, hang on. We've got to go to a break. You know, Sandy, after it's all said and done, Dave's a prime example, and what he just had to say. You know, you said it earlier before Dave even had his conversation about no government. I mean, can you imagine what we would be dealing with in this society without having that government? So the people also, when they say they want less government, they want to pick and choose. So military is fine. That part of government they're in love with. Just don't get in my way, right? We don't want you bothering us at all, government. But it comes to that, it's a completely different ball game, and that's what we're really dealing with, Sandy. Your expression of why it's so important to have government, and then on the other side, Dave's expression on why government is interfering and getting in the way. And so that's where this divide that we have, Sandy, even though you and Dave just had a great conversation about it, it's growing. And not only is it growing, Sandy, but it's getting ugly, right? And people can't tolerate the conversation, and that's where I think this conversation is headed and where the danger zones lie. Got to go to a break. Bill from O'Connor Mark, hang on, everybody else on the